Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
Welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Well, Lynette, as you know, this calling to open our homes and lives to vulnerable children requires a daily dependence upon Christ. Mm-hmm. When we as God's people refuse to quit and set our hearts to seek His guidance and endurance on a daily basis, then the Lord truly will use His people to influence the world and the hurting around us in ways we could have never imagined.
Oh, I totally agree. And you know, Paul reminded the church in Corinth of this. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, he writes, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human mind can conceive the things that God has prepared for those who love Him." And Tara, I love in the message, it says, what God has arranged.
That's awesome.
Oh, it is, for those who love them. It can be a fierce battle, though. And there are days, I think most of us would agree, we want to quit the process, but we truly can trust the Lord to champion this from beginning to end and to reign all through the middle. Tara, the couple we have joining us today surely had moments when they wanted to quit. You and I have known this sweet couple since they were in high school.
That's crazy.
And it's been a joy to see the Lord build their family.
That's so true. Jacob and Tiffany Saltzman have three beautiful children through the miracle of adoption. Jacob ministered alongside Lynette and me in Kentucky, and Tiffany even had a few of our children in elementary school, and we could not be more honored to have them with us today. So Jacob and Tiffany, welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast.
Oh, thanks so much for having us.
Yes, we're excited to be with y'all today.
Well, we know your nest is full, and we appreciate you taking the time to be with us. So I hope you don't mind starting at the beginning, but how did the Lord lead you to begin the adoption process?
Yeah, I would say it was different for actually each of Tiffany and I, but for me, the Lord started stirring in my heart back in high school. I was on a mission trip to the Philippines, and He just started working in my life and stirring in my heart that, you know, maybe one day I would adopt. And, you know, actually, since I was in the Philippines, I kind of had this heart for the Philippines. And then we got married and started trying to have biological children. And it was after a few years of trying to have biological children, we found out we would never be able to have biological children. And so we turned to adoption, actually meeting with both of you all and the influence that both of you played in our lives. And at that point in our life, the Lord opened our hearts to adoption.
Wow. And so how did that first one begin, Tiffany?
With Jace, so it was like about a month after we found out, and I was it took me a little more to get on board. I guess the Lord knew I needed a little more to get on board with the adoption. And so He definitely gave us that with the news that we, you know, couldn't physically, I would not physically carry a child. And so we knew at that point, like, we definitely wanted to pursue adoption. That was the choice for us, and that's what we knew God had in store. And so we found out about Jace we found out in October we couldn't have biological children, and then we talked to Jace's birth mom for the first time on January 8th of 2010. And so it was very, very quick. You know, some people will say they wait, you know, a long time. And so repeating what Jacob had said, reached out to you all. You all were definitely a blessing to us just to lean on during that time. And then just having told everybody that we knew, to tell everybody that we were looking to adopt. And so that's kind of how we got matched with Jace's birth mom, is we had even put on Facebook, hey, we would love to adopt if anyone knows of anyone that's looking to make an adoption plan. And so a lady that Jacob had grown up with in elementary school and middle school had worked for a home study agency in the area. And so they knew of Jace's birth mom. It's a long connection, long line of people, but she had known about her through one of her mom's friends, daughter's friend who lived in Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
And had been her landlord. And so she actually lived in Utah, Jace's birth mom, but she had reached out to the landlord she had in Tennessee. And so again, it's a long line of connection, but so she contacted us, the lady in Louisville that worked with the adoption home study place, contacted us and said, you know, I saw on Facebook, would you be interested in talking to this birth mom? And we were like totally in shock, for one, that it happened so fast, and two, we're like, what do we say to a birth mom? We don't, we've never done this. And so literally like 5 minutes later, we get a phone call from her, from Jason's birth mom. And so we just talked with her, kind of told her, you know, we were looking to adopt and kind of our story. We just found out, you know, you can't have children. And she had placed two other children for adoption already. So she kind of actually was a help to us and knowing like how it all kind of worked. So which seems crazy, but she really was a help to us through the, through kind of how does this all work. And so that was kind of how we got matched with Jace, and then he was born in June. So
you brought him home straight from the hospital?
Yes, we got him. So he was born in Utah, and we were in the hospital for like 2 days, and then we had to stay in Utah for I think we were there 10 extra days, just waiting on like the interstate compact where we aren't able to leave the state or enter into Kentucky. So we stayed there for several days. And then, yes, we were able to come home. But we got him. We left the hospital with him.
So do you still have contact with birth mom?
With Jace's birth mom, it's very limited. Mm-hmm. Just at first, we had more contact than we do now. But just as the years have progressed, it's gotten less. She actually, though, does keep in contact more so with my mom. My mom was there when Jace was born. She was actually in the delivery room. Jacob's mom was as well, but Jace's birth mom really took to my mom, and she lost her mother during her pregnancy with Jace. And so I don't know if that was part of it too, but they talk, I would say, every couple months. It's not like regularly, but they do talk more than even like she and I do. But I know that if I need her or wanted to contact her for, I've had to contact her about a medical issue. But as far as just contact, just to have contact, we don't really keep in touch that much.
So
but I do a lot. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. I was just going to ask, that's a big, you know, a time frame of being able to try to have biological children, finding out that you couldn't. I'm sure there had to be a grieving process there, to, and then very soon after to be able to adopt. So can you share with us just a little bit from either of your perspectives, kind of, you know, there are a lot of people who are going to be dealing with infertility and trying to determine, they know that the Lord's called them to be parents and learning to build their family. So how did you guys work through those emotions?
Yeah. It's very difficult for us at times. Mm-hmm. I actually remember coming home from the doctor's appointment that day, just sitting on our couch, just holding each other, crying, just trying to figure out what the next step was going to be. Mm-hmm. And remember talking to my pastor at the time, which it, was Brother Kevin, and him actually telling me a verse that, you know, at first when he told me, I was kind of mad, but he talked about in James how it talks about when you go through different trials to count it joy. And when he told me that, I really didn't understand what he meant by it. And it wasn't till, you know, later on that I, now as I look back and look at that verse, I understand what he means by it, because we've now been able to use our story and kind of how we went through the times to help other people get through the same thing.
That's right.
And so, you know, thinking back on it, it really was that verse that he shared with me, at least at the time. I really didn't understand it then, and I would continue to say it to myself. But looking back, it was that that, you know, got me through it, because I was constantly trying to think, how is this going to help me? How, as we're going through this thing, you know, Tiffany never going to be able to, you know, carry a child, a dream that she's always had. She's never going to be able to do this. You know, how is it going to be any type of joy come out of this situation?
Mm-hmm.
And it is only because now I do see back the people that God has placed in our life that we've been able to help walk through their infertility struggles with that. And I think for us, it's understanding that it's not Tiffany and I's story, that it's God's story that he gave to us.
Right.
And we do need to be open with our stories. And I get it's a very private thing, and a lot of people don't want to share their struggles, especially when it comes to infertility. But for Tiffany and I, we've just understood that it's a story that God has given to us, and that we're going to be able to help people walk through their different stories. Maybe it's not the same exact one that we have, but maybe it's very similar. And we're going to be able to help them along the way. And out of that, Tiffany and I do get joy. Mm. And we do get to see how other families get through that to the adoption process. And it does bring us joy in our life when we can help them through that.
So it's very similar to the passage of scripture that Lynette shared, where it says that no human mind can conceive the things God has arranged for those who love him.
Absolutely.
We don't always understand the journey, but we can trust his character, which is what I'm hearing you say. I didn't understand the James passage, but I'm learning to trust his character. So I'm assuming, because you've had two other children since Jace was born, that after that you kind of learned the ropes and everything was a piece of cake. Is that correct?
you would like to think that.
Yeah, we would.
Ma ha ha.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's right.
Can you share with families listening, you know, any difficult season that you encountered, even through the consecutive adoptions that you've had?
So after Jace, he was, I guess, about 18 months, and we were like, we would love to have another child. And so we thought, well, we'll kind of start where we did last time and just let everybody know that, you know, we would like to adopt again. And so we did get matched with a birth mother. She was in the same city that we were in at the time. And so I actually got to go with her to, like, all of her doctor's appointments. And, you know, I was just really enjoying, like, that process, because I had never thought I would be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And so going to the doctor's appointments, we found out it was a boy, and, you know, we're excited about that, came up with a name and started thinking, like, oh, Jace is going to have a brother. And then we went to her doctor's appointment at 19 weeks and found out that she had miscarried the baby boy. And so that was really, really heart-wrenching. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, when people say, like, you feel like time just kind of freezes, really how I would probably describe that. We're in the, like, ultrasound room, and she, like, runs out of the room and is, like, going through the hallways, and I'm just, like, I can't even process, you know, everything that's happening. You know, I'm, like, seeing my world kind of, like, crash, and then I'm, like, oh, no, I'm, like, responsible for her. Like, she's with me, and so I go after her, and, you know, it was just, I wasn't experiencing the miscarriage physically, but, I mean, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, like, every other way, like, that possible, like, I just, it was, I mean, really, really hard time for us, and I felt like I just cried, like, I just uncontrollably cried, and, or just doing dishes, I would cry, and, you know, like, looking at Jace, I would cry, because I would think about, you know, the boy that we would never get to, like, hold. And so I think that was just, and then even just walking with her continually through, because she had to deliver the baby.
Oh, wow.
And so we, you know, went to the hospital with her to go through that process as well. And so I would just say it was a really hard, probably like 2 weeks, specifically 2 week time frame, just finding out. And then again, just kind of walking through that process with her. I mean, it lingered, obviously, and I mean, still today in my mind, it's never going to be something that I forget. But so we experienced that with that birth mother, and then actually right after that, it was like a month later, we got matched. We decided to go through an agency, because we were like, you know, we just really want a child. And I just was thinking, like, well, maybe it'll be quicker if we go through an agency. Mm-hmm. And so we found out about this baby that they were having a really hard time matching, and we're like, we will take it. Like, we'll take any child. Like, we want this baby. And so, again, it was a boy, and she was due like 2 months later. And so we got the nursery ready. We got our bags packed, you know, and we were talking with her, she would call at all hours of the night, and she'd go to the emergency room and all of this. And so it's very just emotionally draining. Just kind of, again, I wasn't physically experiencing, but I mean, getting calls at like 1 a.m.
right.
saying something's wrong. And so then all of a sudden it was just nothing. She didn't call me. She wouldn't respond to text. I called the agency and they hadn't heard from her. And so we're just waiting with our bags packed at the door, literally at the door. And we're getting no response from her. And so at that point, you know, after this went on for several days, and we just realized, like, in the agency, in talking with the agency, that, like, she was not going to follow through with the adoption process. And so, again, just feeling like, okay, we just experienced heartbreak, and then here we are, like, you know, 2 months down the road, two and a half months down the road, and we're experiencing this again. So I just felt very discouraged, and I just thought, you know, Lord, like, do you even want us to have another child? Like, are we pursuing this, but it's not really, you know, should we just be content with the child that you've given us? You know, because we're so thankful to have Jace. And so I'm like, well, are we being, you know, selfish or whatever to want another child? And so just kind of processing those emotions as well. Like, okay, Lord, we feel like you're calling us to this, and we desire other children. But what do we do here? You know, like, where do we go from here?
You know, I think, Tiffany, so many times that I think from our deepest pain can come greatest joys in life. And I think the adoption process, infertility, miscarriages, failed adoptions, I think that's just such an example of that in our lives, that through our deepest pain can come some of the greatest joys. When I get your Christmas card every year, I mean, we just tear up and we tape it up and we talk about you guys and we just see how the Lord has worked in your family and how faithful you've been and how the Lord started you at such a young age to trust him and to be faithful and how he was going to build your family. And that is a testimony to the body of Christ.
It is. So, Jacob, I want to know, I ask husbands this often when we're having conversations with couples, but when you're going through those deep, dark times as a couple, for you, because you're also experiencing all of that pain, how did you lead Tiffany through that difficult time in determining what God's plan was for your family?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the most difficult thing is, one, you are experiencing everything that she is. So the emotional part of it, you know, I wasn't going to doctor's appointments, but I was, you know, with, especially with the one in the birth mom in Louisville, you know, we had taken her to dinner, so we had met with her several times, and you do somewhat get kind of attached to somebody, and then when, you know, things don't go as planned, you know, as the husband, you're supposed to be the strong one.
Right.
And so even though you still are dealing with everything, you're going through the same thing. I think for us it was, you know, for Tiffany and I, it was honestly just kind of going back to square one and me just trying to bring our family back together of saying, okay, Lord, what is it that you would have for us now? And, you know, we've walked through doors that you've opened and, you know, they've been shut and we're okay with that. You know, it takes a while to become okay with that, but we are okay with that, but we will just continue to trust you. And I think for us, it was the body of Christ, the people that God had put in our life and surrounded us with. And if it wasn't for those people in our life, we would have never been able to get through the different things. And, you know, I just realized, even listening to Tiffany talk just a minute ago, it was different people that came along our side from our church or from our small group, or, you know, both of you all and your families that came along and just continued to encourage us and say, you know, the Lord does have a plan for you. And so just for us, it was kind of getting back to the very beginning of it and saying, you know, Lord, as you do provide for our family and as you continue to open doors, then we will continue to walk. Because it's very easy at that point just to say, you know what, we can't go through this again.
Yeah.
And as a husband, I don't want to see my wife struggle the way she's struggling and, you know, walk in the house and seeing her be emotional because of what we've done what we've been through. And so it is just, you know, we have to continue to go back and trust that the Lord does have a plan for our family and he will provide. And sometimes it's not in our timing.
Right.
We just have to understand that. And, you know, I think that was the hardest thing, but you know, that for me, I felt like I needed to be the strong one. Tiffany needed to see that I was going to support her and that we did just need to trust in the Lord and in his timing.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that he would say a lot that, you know, is that God knows like the child that's meant to be ours or the children that's meant to be ours. And
yes.
So for whatever reason, like if we're experiencing this heartbreak, as much as we wanted that child, like God knows the children that he has like for our family.
Yes.
And so that was an encouraging thing that he would a lot of times point out was that, you know, that child was, God knew that child was not going to be in our family.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. And you're just trusting him in the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The sanctification process is so hard and so painful sometimes, most of the time. But I think about the things that you all have had to overcome as a couple, which made you stronger, which led you to your next child and then your next child. And so the Lord, we don't often understand. Rarely do we understand why the Lord chooses to take us through different paths. But we just have to always come back to knowing that he is sovereign and he is in control and his character does not change.
Right. And the
yes.
Yeah, the character of God will always stand because the name of God will always
right.
stand. And nothing can come against that. But it is hard in those difficult times because we live in flesh,
mm-hmm.
right? And so mm-hmm. it can be very difficult in those times. But you guys have been such an example of staying the course
mm-hmm.
and trust in the Lord through the process.
Yeah, it is just a process that we have, you know, you don't understand it during the time, but even like with Lily, so our second child, we had two failed adoptions. We didn't understand why, and I couldn't imagine our life without Lily. And
right,
you know, if one of those adoptions would not have failed, then we probably wouldn't have Lily today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something, you know, our little blonde hair, blue eyed girl who has a little spunky attitude. I don't know what our house would be like without her.
You've been listening to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. We're so glad you have taken time to listen today. Keep in mind, we are a ministry of the North American Mission Board and funded through the Annie Armstrong offering and your giving to the cooperative program. We look forward to talking more about adoption, fostering, and orphan care, and how you can be more involved.